black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see
ya. Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. Going to be talking to Brenda Harris. And she does a lot of investigations down there in New Mexico. If you get a chance, check out her YouTube channel, New Mexico Shadow Seekers. She does a lot of investigations down there in New Mexico. If you get a chance, check it out. I want to welcome to the show Tony Merkel from The Confessionals. If you like Sasquatch Chronicles, check out The Confessionals. You'll definitely like it. Again, I know I say this a lot, but it really is one of the very few podcasts I actually listen to. And I got my boy Tony Merkel on. Tony, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Having some fun just recording shows and all that jazz. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for hanging out with me on Sunday before the show and before I actually bring Brenda on. I've been working on an upcoming show regarding government cover-up and some of the different things I've been told behind the scenes and things that are going on behind the scenes. I kind of want to bring it out so the public can hear some of the stuff. Before I get into that, what's your newest show you got coming on, Tony? I know you had a Dogman episode. I threw it up on the blog, but for the audience, would you tell them about this newest show?
Yeah, you know, this show was something I recorded a little bit ago. We brought Lisa on the show, and she shared some of her Dogman encounters that she had while she was a little girl. And it's very interesting because these encounters with the Dogman aren't your typical Dogman encounters. It's a mixture of this thing scaring her initially, and then this thing actually, for lack of better terms, almost like acting like a dog with her, like almost like, you know, how it's man's best friend.
Yeah.
Well, she started saying that, you know, she's scared of this thing. It's scaring her and her friend when they're out playing. And then the next time she saw it, it like treated her differently with different mannerisms. And it's very different than what you typically hear with Dogman. And it's an interesting show, though, for sure. Check it out.
Yeah. And that's The Other Side of Dogman, the newest one that you made.
Yeah, exactly. Episode 59.
What do you think that Dogman is?
You know, I think that it's probably something to do with more supernatural than anything. That's kind of how I look at it. It's funny. I just heard an interview with a guy who came on. He called into the show and he shared that he was being haunted by voices, and these voices were telling him to kill his wife. And he remembers hearing these voices one night. He's laying in his bed next to his wife, and he looks and he sees these shapes on the wall just kind of like transforming. And as he's looking at it, he says to his wife, "Do you see that?" And she looks and she's like, "Yeah, I see it too." And then these two red eyes appeared in front of them, and he had this sense that he should look to his left. And so he looks to his left, and he said he saw this giant dog standing there in the room, and all he had this feeling was he was going to die. He was absolutely going to die. He said it was about 5 feet tall. He didn't say if it was on two legs or one or two legs or four legs, but he said it was about 5 feet tall, and this dog looked like it was going to kill him. And then he started crying out the name of Jesus, and they gradually left. And so that's a common thing, right? You hear people say they cry out to the name of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, these things leave them alone. And so when that happens to me, I think it's probably more along the lines of something to do with paranormal, probably.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder. I mean, with the dog man, the thing that throws me off about the dog man, because I get a lot of those reports off the air. The one thing that really upsets me is a lot of people say it's physical. Yeah, but when you hear their encounter, it sounds very paranormal. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of paranormal stuff going on. But I'll often ask people, was it physical? What you saw was physical. And they'll say, absolutely, it was physical. So it really makes you wonder what that dogman creature is. And I know go ahead, Tone.
No, I was just going to say, it actually makes you wonder about different things. Like, can something that's paranormally, you know, spiritual be physical at the same time? And we had that that interview you did a little bit back with that guy who essentially killed a Baphomet, and that's something that Satanists worship, and you would think that that's more a demonic entity, yet he shot this thing and killed it. And so it makes you just wonder, kind of like, what are these things? Can entities like that be physical at the same time in some certain instances? I don't know.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder. I was going to bring that up with Brenda tonight about the guy that shot Baphomet. I know on an upcoming show, you and I are going to be doing a government cover-up. We might grab a few other people to come on and talk about it. But kind of switching gears with the government cover-up. You know, Tony, I was contacted by this guy a couple days ago. You and I talked about it off the air, and I was like, God, this would be great on the air as you and I were talking. But yeah. So the story goes, if you guys ever follow any of these other shows, there's a show called The Cryptid Brothers. They have a YouTube channel, and basically I'm talking to this guy, and he's been trying to reach me, I guess, for a long time, which is odd because I'm not a hard guy to get a hold of. But anyway, he was trying to get a hold of me, and he ended up going on their show. And the short version of the story, I'll just give you the cliff notes of it, Tony, but he was out with his cousin. They were fishing, and then rocks started being thrown at them when they're out on this boat. And so he starts getting frustrated. You know, he's getting pissed. He's not thinking Bigfoot. He doesn't even believe in Bigfoot. He's thinking someone's throwing rocks, trying to mess up their fishing. So he tells his cousin, take me ashore. And he's pissed. He wants to go up and confront this guy. So they go to shore, and they both start walking. And as they're walking up this hill, this thing steps out. Again, this is kind of the short version of the story, but this thing steps out. And he said, Wes, this thing was huge. It was twice my size. And he goes, it was a cross between a monkey and a person. It kind of looked like a Neanderthal, to be honest with you. And he said that it was shifting its eyes, and it was kind of rocking back and forth. And then it charges the guys. And when it charged the guys, he said in a blink of an eye, it was on top of them. I mean, it moved that quick. And it actually had hit that when it had charged them, I guess it had actually hit one of the guys, his cousin, and knocked him back. And his cousin's just laying there trying to catch his breath. And he goes down to his cousin. The thing ended up throwing a log. He said it was doing this weird chatter, clicking of its mouth, and it was watching them the whole time. They eventually get out of there, and as they're heading back to the boat ramp, they call the police department and say, hey, listen, we've been attacked, on and on and on. Don't really give a whole lot of details. But as they pull up to the boat ramp, the police are waiting, fishing game's waiting, and I think a sheriff's deputy's waiting. There's three different law enforcement guys there. And they separated the guys, asked them what happened. He starts telling them what happened. And he said the main guy in charge wouldn't hear it. And he kept asking, were you guys drinking? You know, obviously this is a boating accident. And his cousin's still in a lot of pain. The guy he's with is still in major, major pain. And there, you know, he's talking. Then he goes to talk to the fish and game guy. Didn't really get anywhere. Finally, he talks to the last police officer. And he says, hey, listen, this wasn't a bear and this wasn't a man. It just charged us. It was throwing. He goes over the whole story with them. They were fishing. It was throwing rocks. They got out. This last cop basically says, I believe you, and tries to steer the guys in the direction of, I guess, calling the Cryptid Brothers. I don't know a whole lot about that portion of the story. But anyway, they go off to the hospital. And when they go to the hospital, his cousin has like three broken ribs. I mean, he's in bad shape. He's legitimately hurt. And these other guys come in to visit them while they're in the hospital. And they're not really law enforcement. He doesn't really know who they are. And in his words, they were dicks. They come up, they, you know, obviously it was a bear, and he's telling them, no, it wasn't a bear. They're saying, well, maybe it was a person. He's saying, no, it wasn't a person. So he starts telling them what he saw, and they don't like that. And so they go to the cousin, and they're telling the cousin, you know, explaining to him, you know, what did you see? And telling him basically what he saw. It was a bear. And he's like, his cousin's like, listen, it's not a bear. And he's like, I don't know what they said to my cousins, but my cousin won't talk to me anymore. And that was the end of that. He said, I've talked to my cousin once or twice, but he's very, he doesn't want to talk to me anymore, doesn't want to discuss this anymore. He's like, they said something to him. And so anyway, they were in the hospital, and he wanted to, when they got out of the hospital, he wanted to get the documentation for his insurance. So when he calls the hospital, there's no record of those guys ever being in the hospital, not even his cousin. There's no record of it. And he's like, okay. And so he goes on Lance's show, tells the whole story about what happened, and he gets contacted again. But this time he gets contacted by Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles. Wasn't me. Wants to know everything. Wants to go through everything with him and has him tell him everything that happened. Then the person asks, well, what are you going to do about it? And he says, they tried to go to the radio stations. They tried to go to the newspapers. He said they had an interview lined up with one of the local larger radio stations there. And when they showed up, all the power went out. The radio station was down for about 20 minutes. And now the radio station people won't talk to him. They don't want them on the show. They don't want them to come on. They want nothing to do with them. He's like, Wes, I feel like I'm losing my mind here. Like, I can't believe this is happening to me. The IRS is after him now. They froze his bank account, you know, on and on and on, trying to get these guys to shut up. And I was trying to figure out why they would go through so much hassle with shutting these guys up. Because I think if you just have an encounter, if you just had a sighting, even if it's on your property, they do not care. You could have a family member hurt. They do not care. I think what they honestly care about is people who have documentation or can kind of prove that they had an encounter, and these guys were in that situation. I think there's something else going on at that location. They didn't want people there. I don't know if it was a military ops, but we talked about that. He had seen the military there a couple days later. Very odd story. I mean, there's way more to it, and I want to save it for the show you and I are going to do. But this isn't the only situation I've heard like this. There's lots of situations like this off the air. On the last show, I talked about the guy that shot one and had people show up. And I want to reiterate to the audience, it's not your encounter. They don't care about what you've seen. They don't really care about what you've experienced. It's not, they don't care. What they care about is if you can prove it. Now, if you can prove it, you become a huge, huge problem for these people. Again, on the show you and I are going to do, I'll talk about why I think they're covering it up. I'll tell you about the tactics that they use to cover it up. I'll go into full details with it. It's very 1930s mafia mentality with these guys, which I think is some men on this planet you can't bully. Some men on this planet you can't harass. You can't threaten. It doesn't work. It's a very small percentage of people, but there is some men you can't push around and bully and threaten, and it just doesn't work. And I think that's their biggest fear, is when someone comes along and was like, hey, I don't, you know, what are you guys going to do about it? Because they're so used to using their Gestapo techniques on people and getting people to go, oh, okay. But I'll go more into it. And I appreciate you helping me with that show, Tony, coming up, the government cover up. It should be an interesting show. A lot of stuff I'll tell you off the air. I'll tell you on the air that's happened off the air. So definitely look for that coming up.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to participating in that conversation and stuff. I'm excited to hear the stories you got and stuff. I have very limited government cover-up stories that were told to me, but I have a couple that, you know, people have shared with me that kind of just makes you wonder what they're doing there and why, what their motives is and things like that. And I know you have different ideas and theories as to why they do what they do. So it'd be a good show. Definitely be a good show.
Yeah, I think it'll be an eye-opener for a lot of people. It's not money and it's not lumber. Those are not the issues that they're looking to save in this situation. It goes way deeper, and it gets into a point to where, do you really want to know the answers? And so hopefully we can tackle some of that coming up. I don't know, anything else going on Sunday, man? How's the wife and baby doing?
Doing good. I literally just got done holding him for about 2 hours while I was sleeping in one of those carriers that's strapped to your body. So I was, you know, experiencing the weight of a baby just like my wife did for 3 or 9 months. So, yeah, all good, though, on the family front.
Yeah, those are backbreakers, man. What is it, the one where they sleep on in front of you?
Yeah.
It's like the worst design ever.
I know. I started out with him facing forward. He likes looking around, but then when he starts getting tired, his head kind of hangs down forward. And so I turn him around and let him sleep on me and, you know, just learning as I go. First time dad.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, for the audience out there, if they get a chance, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com. Check out Tony's podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, The Confessionals. Tony, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you being
right
here.
Right on, man. Thanks for having me.
Remember, if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member. There's cool merchandise on the site. So if you get a chance, check it out, sasquatchchronicles.com. Let's jump into it tonight with one of our favorite researchers from New Mexico, Brenda Harris, who is kind of the godmother of the cryptid world. Brenda, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here, Brenda. Really, thank you so much for coming on the show. I wanted to talk about your recent investigation with the River Monster. I know you do a lot of investigations down there in New Mexico. You're always in the thick of things. Tell us about this River Monster investigation that you were doing.
Okay. Oh, well, this family's been, you know, having problems with Bigfoot coming around their property. It's been going on for quite some time right now, and I've been working with this family on the situation. And if you go, like you said, go to my YouTube channel, there is another investigation I did besides the horses on this family. And this one is called Mysterious Claws. Now, this is on the same property where this claws, you know, was like it scratched the side of a little small RV trailer. Well, this happens to be on the same property, like I said, and they've been having a lot of activity in this area. Not only them, but people that live around them along the rivers, they hear Bigfoot yelling for quite some time now. They're probably see about between three and four years ago, they had her husband was, I believe, heard something late at night. The dogs were going really crazy. The horses, too. They were in the back in the corral. Now, the horses, they were a little closer, you know, further down behind the house. But now today, since the activity has been, you know, really has picked up so much, they've moved the whole corral a little bit closer to the home. And they quit kind of bothering the horses for a little while, but they started right back up in there. Again, started leaving claw marks, you know, scratch marks on them and stuff like that. But about 2, 3, 4 years ago, when they had called me, the husband had heard, like I said, the dogs were barking really late at night. He went outside and he heard a cow yell, you know. And he stood up there and really listened because he swore that, you know, it sounded like the cow was getting torn up somewhere in the back field close to the river. And he's like, oh, you know, man, that cow sounds like it's getting, you know, ripped up. Not just by one Bigfoot, but possibly maybe several others, maybe two or three of them. He said, you could just hear that cow just being like torn up, you know, ripped up. And he said, well, those dogs are just going crazy down in that area there. There was also another time, I believe, if I remember right, that same year, I think it was 2 weeks later or a month later, they heard a horse that was being done the same way. They heard a horse really yelling, and they said it sounded like it was on the river way to the west, and it sounded like the horse was getting ripped up too. I did a small investigation on that. On the when they were telling me all of this, they said they had their dogs. One of their dogs had happened to bring back some bones, huge bones. They look like leg bones or whatever. I did take some pictures of those, and you know, they couldn't figure out. You know, trying to think, where's the dog bringing these back?
Yeah.
And I believe the husband remembered that. About several days before the dog bringing the bones back, they remembered hearing that cow that was being ripped up. So he's kind of assuming that dogs brought back those bones, you know, to the house.
Did the eyewitness, the guy that owns the property, did he actually see the creatures on the property?
As a matter of fact, let's see. It did. One summer he did see it. It was really hot this month, that summer, and the wife was asleep in the house. This is late at night, and her husband wanted to sleep outside in the tent. You know, so it's a nice night. He sleeps outside, right in front of the house, but you know, off a little to the side there. And in front of their house, they had this door. They left the door open, so they have a screen door there, and they had, you know, tied up, and so he's sleeping in the tent with some of his dogs, and she's sleeping in the house, and she's sleeping in the living room right by, kind of close to the front door, or facing, the couch is facing the front door. Well, the man hears the dog all of a sudden just start going nuts. He starts barking, so he gets up and, you know, opens the tent, and they're just standing right there in front of the door. And he said this thing was big. You know, he says he's seen this black figure standing there. It's like he was getting ready to grab the doorknob or that little latch there on the door. And he said that it was big, and it was standing there. And it was probably watching his wife sleep, you know, right there in the living room. And the dogs went off, and he open up the thing more, and the dog started really barking, and that thing turned and looked at him, and it took off around the corner and headed back down towards the river. He said it was tall. It looked like black. And you know, he said he took off. It took off. They've heard it run beside their house, tap on the window. Their son has seen it during the day around, I believe, 10 o'clock in the morning in the field, close to the river. So they said it was pretty big. And just about a week ago, it's going to be almost a week now, her husband had seen it late in the evening. And he said it is tall. Was standing in the field. When the light hit the eyes, he said it kind of had like a bluish color or something, you know, to the eye color. He said it is tall. He's kind of estimating about 10 feet tall. I was like, wow, that's huge. So and that was standing out in the field as well.
Yeah, that is tall.
It's big, really big.
It's interesting to get that, the blue eye reports, don't you think, Brenda? I get those occasionally, not as frequent as you would think. Most of the time it's yellow, it's red, but occasionally someone, yeah, I'll get the people that will say it was blue. It was a very, very deep blue color. And to me, that seems a little odd. You know, when you're talking eye shine, you think, well, you're going to get red, or you're going to get, you know, on different animals, you're going to get a certain color. It doesn't really change colors when it comes to eye shine. And it seems odd, you know, with a lot of these reports, like the blue eye shine, very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's like, well, this one had, you know, like a bluish color to it. I'm like, blue? I'm like, wow. You know, like you said, I'm same here. I hear, you know, more of the red and then the golden color, kind of a yellowish orange, you know. Those are the colors that I get a lot on. But the bluish is, you know, it's kind of a little bit new to me. But, you know, it's not the first time that I've heard it. You know, people around here, they have said, this one looked like it had blue eyes when they shine the light on it. So that was kind of like, wow. You know, kind of, I don't know, it just makes you kind of think like, okay, well, what other thing is out there, you know, with different eye color, you know?
Yeah.
But you never know.
Yeah, it's true. You never know. I do get those blue eye shine reports a lot. And so this thing was coming around the property, obviously coming up to the home. And is he putting two and two together as far as it killing livestock and kind of using his property as like a grocery store and just getting what it wants? Is that what's going on here?
I believe so. You know, when I first met the family, you know, I told them to do some of these things. Like putting the livestock feed away. That's probably one thing that they're eating, you know, because they like that cracked corn. Dog food, get that put up. Cat food, get that put up. And put as much lighting as you can. Now, this family has put up a fog light in front of the corral. So it's a really bright light. You know, where I set up the cameras on the side of the corral, that light's bright. You know, they leave that light on all night. And, you know, I told the family, I said, still be careful because they will still come out in the light. So be careful, you know, when you're out there. Not too long ago after, while putting up the cameras and stuff, before I picked up the cameras, the SD cards, you know, there was an incident where the wife had got back from work late at night, and she sees this, you know, two lights in front of their door. And they get closer to the house, and they see that, and they get to the gate, and the lights disappear. And she's, you know, like, what is that? So, you know, they pull that, and they go running to the back to go check on the horses. Now, when they were checking on the horses, they hear the neighbor's dogs going off. You know, they're just barking. I'm like, what is going on over there? So they shine the light, you know, into their field there, and they noticed the dogs were running. And so, you know, she shined the light more, you know, and then she shined it a little further, you know, behind the dogs when the dogs were running. And she noticed this black figure running. It was running after the dogs. And when she shined the light onto at that figure, which happened to be Bigfoot that was chasing the dogs, she shined the light on it and yelled at it and said, like, hey, you know, and it apparently must have stopped. And it looked right at her. She said it had the color. She got red eye shine. She said that it looked at her, and she said some other stuff, and it just, you know, looked at her, and then it turned around and it took off back down to the river. And I asked her later on if it had come back later on that night. And she said that the dogs were going nuts again. So it was probably back around in that area later on that night. You know, so, you know, they've been going through this for quite some time, coming back. You know, it stops for a while, and then it comes right back again. Well, they're not the only ones that this has happened to. They've had neighbors, several of the neighbors in that area that have livestock, that have sheep, that have it's taken, you know, a couple of their sheep. You know, they've, you know, she's even told me, get some light up in there. You know, whether you have the light or not, you know, I've been saying for a long time too, be careful, because, you know, they are coming out in the light more. So they are there, you know, in those times that I've set up the camera, especially this last time, when I was setting up the camera, and it was probably late afternoon when I went to go retrieve the cards and put new ones and new batteries in there. You just get that feeling that something's there watching you. And it was bright light during, you know, sun's out and all. And you just get that eerie feeling something's there, but, you know, quite not sure. So I started taking some pictures, you know, here and there, and got home and started going through the cards and stuff. And that one particular picture, and when I took that picture, and I had downloaded and I zoomed in, and And sure enough, there it was. You know, it was standing within the tree lines, and it was watching what I was doing. And, you know, a lot of people, they've seen it coming out during the day. It could be any time of day. You know, it's really random. You know, I can't just say, yeah, it was this time, be out there at this time, and they'll be there. I don't say that because, you know, you're not guaranteed. It's not a guarantee to see it, you know, at that same time. You'd be lucky if you do, but, you know, it's just a random that when they come out, you know, we've kind of like puzzled. And the reason why I say that is, why is it bothering this family constantly? What's the reason for it? Is there something on the land? You know, there's something there. There's something they want. You know, something that we're trying to figure out. Did the family do something that I don't know? I don't know. You know, until we figure that out, then I'll have the answers once I figure it out. You know, I mean, you know, so many people are like, why is he doing this? Why is this? Why is that? You know, we all don't have the answers to it until we actually see it for ourselves and see what it's doing. What is it that is drawing it to that? Okay, just like on our property, I mean, we've got all of these crazy things coming through our property. We have different, like ghosts, I guess. I don't like to bring that up, but, you know, we've had stuff like that. We hear voices. I just found out recently our neighbor, they've seen trolls late at night on the front of our yard. And then, of course, we've got Bigfoot running through here. And several years ago, about three years ago, my oldest son was heading out to the little RV trailer in the back trailer there, because we didn't have running water in the house at that time. So we had to go wash up, you know, outside in this little trailer. And then when he went out, he heard something standing close by the tractor behind our house. Now, behind our house, we had our tractor parked. It's probably about 50 yards from our home. And it's just a little bit outside of the street light that you can still see back there. And then we have two storage sheds back there. Now, in between the storage sheds, we had the tractor that was parked back there. So my son goes out and takes care of business, and he heard something. And he looked back there, and there's this big old tall thing standing back there. And he's like, oh, and he come running in, and Mama, come out. You got to bring the camera. You're not going to believe what I see. I'm like, what? So I go out there, and he goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but, you know, he didn't know how to say it, you know, because I know that's not a Bigfoot, but I don't know what that was, but that looked like what he called a half man, half horse. I'm like, what? He goes, it's standing as tall as the tractor. Now we have a canopy on the tractor. He goes, it was as tall as that. He goes, when it saw me open the door to get back in, I stood there and I heard it did something. He turned around and looked, and it was standing there, and it was kind of looking at each other. And he's like, what the heck, you know? And he said he could hear it. It jumped over the fence, and you could hear just like the sound of the horse running, and it was running back to the river. And when I went back there, I found what looked like horse's hoofs. And they were huge. And I just looked at him, you know, and he just looked at me like, what the heck is going on here? What do we have running through our property? You know, we've got so much stuff going on our property alone. I mean, it's not just on our property, but other people's property on the reservation that they're experiencing stuff like this. And we just happen to be settling right on an area where it's really active. I mean, we have Bigfoot, like I said, that runs through our property. It's tapped our window not too long ago. You know, people, you know, always get reports of that. It's looking in the window. Why is it doing that? You know, and it's freaked out quite a few people around here. And, you know, just like with this family, it's tapped on their window. It's pulled on their screen door. You know, they hear it growling right by their window late at night at times, you know. And he said it constantly bothers the horse. You know, why? You know, why is it bothering the horse? You know, what is it doing? So they got to where, because like I said, the horse used to be a little bit close down to the river. Well, now they've moved it up a little bit closer to the house. Now, since they've done that, things seem to have kind of quieted down. But, they still come around and they're still bothering the horses. Why are they bothering the horses? You know, I'm not sure. You know, are they eating the feed? They know where the feed is. And so that is the main thing that they're after, is the feed. Right now, you know, they're looking for food. There's no harvest food. So now they're going after livestock.
Let me ask you a question. I'm curious about what your son saw. See, now I get strange reports like that. And if for whatever reason, it's always in the Southwest when you get the really odd, well, not even really odd. I mean, I could tell you a lot of things that are more strange than what you just told me regarding the centaur. But what's strange, and this is going to sound odd to the audience, but I'm telling you, I've had these phone calls off the air and they'll describe something very similar to what your son saw. And I'll say, are you talking about a centaur? And they're like, yeah, I guess that's what I saw. I mean, it was a half man, half. And I don't know, is that, because for me, that almost seems more paranormal. But any more in the paranormal, it's starting to become more normal. You're hearing more and more people not only seeing Sasquatch, but now they're seeing this dogman creature. Not only are they seeing this dogman creature, now they're seeing this thing called the rake. And I've had a lot of reports of those. But then you get this weird stuff like your son's talking about. And if it was a one-time thing, I would say, well, I hate to break it to you, Brenda, your son's delusional. But that's not the case. Yeah. I've heard this before from other people, especially mm-hmm. in your area. And people, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm talking about people, and not that their position in life means anything, but I mean, like, doctors have said, hey, I bought this property and now I'm seeing this. And I don't know what to make of that. Do you think all of this Sasquatch Dogman, the thing your son saw, the rake, do you think all of this is tied together? Or do you think we're talking about separate issues here?
I believe they're all tied together. You know, they all come, you know, and who knows really where they're actually coming up from. You know, we don't know unless we follow them. Or, you know, we don't know. But, you know, a lot of people out there, they don't want to bring the Bible back into this. But if you go back in and read some of these things, that they are starting to come out. You know, they're appearing now. And we're going to get more and more of these weird creatures coming out. And so, you know, where they're coming from, you know, you make your own observations on that, you know. They don't want to hear the Bible. Leave the Bible out and read, you know, leave God out. But I can't, because, and I won't, because it all, you know, it goes back to that. If you read it, you know, towards the end, you're going to see a lot of really strange things. And that, I believe that's really happening right now. I mean, we got the trolls, we got the centaurs, we got the little people, we got, what do you call it, the pterodactyls, we got the Bigfoot, we got Dogman. I mean, the list just goes on and on. But, and then also you'll get something in there, you know, get thrown in there. There's a lady that we know out there in, what do you call that place? Delcon, Arizona. She's asking me, did you hear of these little birds? There's a flock of them, and they look like those little dinosaur birds that were spotted flown out in Arizona, in Delcon area, way out on the reservation. The reservation people are seeing stuff like that out that way. So every, you know, part of Arizona on the reservation side, they're seeing some of the strangest things out there here in our area as well, too, along the river, or, you know, the deep part of the reservation way, way out, you know, they're seeing some really strange things. Some of the reports that, you know, I have gotten, you know, I haven't shared a whole lot, you know, about it, you know. I'm like, well, you know, I want to make sure before I bring some of this stuff up.
No, I get it.
You know, the more and more people talk about it, it's like, yeah, I guess they are telling you. I'm just like, wow, I can't believe what I'm hearing. You know, I mean, there's just so much stuff that's going on that it's scary. And then at the same time, it's kind of amazing to, like, wow, really? Really, we have that here? You know, it can, you know.
It is amazing because, you know, you do get those reports. And I get very, I mean, the audience would be shocked at half the stuff I've heard off the air. But you start to get these reports, you know, and I'm glad that you brought up the Bible. I know it's not a religious show and that's not why people are tuning in. But if you're a serious researcher or investigator or whatever you want to call yourself, you have to be willing to look at even historical documents like the Bible or some of their old Sumerian texts or, you know, even beyond that. And you're right, you know, the people of today, if they think, and everyone, if you're religious, you've heard the term, the last days will be like the days of Noah. Well, if you think in the days of Noah, they were just eating and drinking and no one was caring about God and that's all that was going on, I hate to break it to you, you're sadly mistaken. There was way more going on than you'll find in most writings. And when you start digging into it, they, you know, Noah saw a lot of strange cryptids. He saw a lot of weird stuff. And it's strange that we're seeing it today. And it's becoming, you know, even 20 years ago, if you said dog man, I would assume probably most people had no clue what you're talking about. They would have said werewolf. And now those accounts are becoming more normal. And it's very troublesome. You know, when you go with just Sasquatch, you can go with the, I mean, you and I, Brenda, know this is not the case, but you can go with the idea that, well, it's just a monkey out there in the woods we can't catch up with. And I hate to break it to everyone, that's not the case. I mean, generally, I say I don't give an opinion because no one has one in their garage they're studying. But if that's where you're at, I'm sorry, you're sadly mistaken. There's something way more going on. This is a longer, bigger rabbit hole than I think most of us ever realized.
Yeah, exactly right. It's so true. You know, really no telling what else is going to pop up. You know, it's scary. It really is, you know, because it'll throw you off guard, you know, if you're not ready for it. So I always tell people, be aware of your surroundings. Be really careful. You don't know what you're going to run into or what's going to come out at you, and it's going to surprise you. You know, so be really careful out there.
And I almost wonder if the Native, if the First Nations or Native American reservations, if people are seeing the weird stuff, it seems to be there first. I almost wonder if that is intentional. You know, because most people, they'll say, well, the Native Americans are very superstitious people, and they, you know, they. So it kind of gets blown off. You know what I mean? It kind of, the general public will kind of just blow it off. And I wonder if that's intentional, that it's happening there first.
I don't think so. You know, there are people around the world that do see the strangest and, you know, scariest things, but it's up to them to talk about it. A lot of them, they won't, because they're going to be tied as, you're crazy. You know,
yeah,
so
you're right.
Really, you know, for me, I can't say it was just the First Nation people that got to see all these things or seeing these things first. No, I really doubt that, because there's people, like I said, out there that do see these things, whether they're, if there's First Nation people that live in different countries, the people that live in outside of the, you know, out of the United States, they see stuff. But
yeah,
like
you're
I
right.
said,
yeah.
You know, they don't want to be ridiculed. You know, they live, they know those areas, and they've never seen something, whatever pops out, and lo and behold, it, you know, makes an appearance to them. So, you know, I think everybody around the world has seen something. It's not just the First Nation people. It's not that I'm taking that away from them. It's just that, you know, there's, you know, billions of people that live on the earth. So,
well, I should correct
something.
Correct what I'm saying. I think some of these, if they are some of these odd, strange experiments gone wrong, I don't know if they're dumping them there first and letting them, you know, just letting the Native Americans deal with it. And that's where I was kind of going with that. It's not that just the Native Americans are only seeing these weird cryptids, because you're right. Even the thing your son saw, I've talked to five people that have seen it, all in the Southwest, and not one of them are Native American, and they've seen it too. So I should have corrected what I was saying. One question I wanted to ask you, I know you're big on lights and cameras and doing that to get these things to go off of the property when they're tormenting someone. Have you ever heard of someone using sulfur?
No.
Yeah, I had a guy on the show. I wanted to ask you about that. I had a guy on the show. His mother was Native American, and it was on the East Coast. And what she used to do is put sulfur around the property. And I don't know where you can go buy like 100 pounds of sulfur, but she used to dump sulfur around the property. And she said they would not cross over that sulfur for whatever reason. And I didn't know if you had heard of that.
No, I haven't heard that. But, you know, a lot of the natives around here, they would do a ceremony, and they would use the sage to do the smudging and stuff. That's what they do, you know, here. You know, but, you know, every tribe is really different with their ceremonies and stuff. When they have, like, bad spirits and stuff that come around on the property, they do, you know, different traditional ways. So, you know, they do stuff like that. So it's all different.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that it is different. And I just thought it was interesting when he said that. I was like, really, sulfur? And he was saying, yeah, you can go buy it at the feed store. But his grandmother used to put sulfur around the property line, and she claimed they would not cross over once she did that. You know, she'd have to do it because of rain and everything else. About once every 2 or 3 months, she'd go out there and dump sulfur everywhere, and they wouldn't cross over that. And I just thought that was odd. I was like, really? I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to try that and see what happens.
Yeah.
over here, you know, and then give you feedback on it and say, hey.
Yeah, if you do, please.
If it works or not.
Yeah, if you do, please let me know. Well, tell me about this kid that ran into one. You said you're investigating a recent report where a guy got really close to one of these creatures.
Sure. It was last Sunday. It'll be a week from tomorrow. It was a week ago Friday. I got a call late in the evening, and this gentleman says, hey, you know, a friend of mine pretty much ran for his life. You know, he's really shook up. He's, you know, really scared, and I'm trying to calm him down right here. You know, he's right there with him, and he had told him what had happened earlier that evening. He says he's really, really scared. He never didn't think he was going to ever see his family or his kids again. But what had happened, I had called him after talking to this gentleman. I called a young man, and he had told me that he went earlier that evening before dusk, around maybe between 2-3 o'clock, he went on his way down towards the river to go chop up some logs to make a bridge. Well, he took his chainsaw and his axe, and he went on his way. And he was the only one that went down to this area. He took off walking, and he started making his way, you know, started heading out. And his, I believe his uncle and two of the kids went, decided to go. So they were following him. They went down there, and then we're going to start chopping up some wood and stuff. And, you know, it's getting kind of a little bit later. So the uncle and the two kids, they went back on home with him. So it left him there by himself. So he starts walking down into this area. He heard a yell. It was late, probably a couple of, 2-3 hours that went by. He heard what sounded like, he said, a woman screaming. It was loud. That really caught his attention. And all of a sudden, he hears some, I believe, footsteps close by him. And he, you know, put his chainsaw and his axe down, and he listened again, and it was just, you know, really yelling. And that scared him, because it just sounded like it was just right over the next hill there. So he starts making his way back. By this time, the sun was starting to go down, and he just, you know, started walking back, you know, rolling back to his home. Now, as he was walking back, and it started getting dark, and he could hear heavy footsteps. And he's like, oh, boy, this thing's like chasing behind him. And he starts running. And, you know, this area, when we went down into this area where he took us, I looked at him like, how in the world did you run without falling? I mean, some areas were so thick. And we had to crawl, you know, into this one area, crawling up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how did you get out of here without falling? And, you know, there's logs everywhere and there's rocks, you know. And some of that, you know, where he ran through, he said, I just saw my life flash before me, you know, and this thing is running right behind me. And, you know, really, he's just like, I was so scared. I hear people talk about this and say they see and they're big. He goes, never in my life did I ever think I would experience what I experienced. Because when I was running, I felt like I was running for my life. This thing was behind me, running after me. He ran, he ran and he cleared a fence. And in the process of doing that, his finger got caught on the barbed wire and cut up his one of his fingers pretty good. And he just, you know, I just kept thinking about my kids. I've heard about people being kidnapped by these things. And, you know, that really scared him. And he just ran. He goes, I just ran. Because I just kept thinking about my kids. I've got to get home. And he didn't have no flashlight on him. And, just before he ran, he was trying to feel for it. He had put his chainsaw and his axe down, set it on the side. And when he heard that and he heard the movement, that's when he took off. And he's getting ready to grab his chainsaw. The reason why he was trying to look for, you know, feel for his chainsaw is he wanted to hurry and start it up and kind of use that sound of the chainsaw to scare it off. Well, he couldn't feel it. His adrenaline just got going so fast, you know, the scare, you know, he's just, you know, I gotta get out. And he took off and he ran. He ran, he showed me this areas where he ran. And, you know, like I said, I'm like, how did you get through this, you know, without falling, without, you know, hurting yourself? And he got, you know, he just ran up and down those hills. And he was probably, I believe, about less than 100 yards away from his home. He finally got to see he could see the street light, so he could get closer to the light. And the closer he got to the light, he was feeling a little bit better, but this thing was still behind him running. And then when he got to the last fence, he stopped. He turned around. He said that it was standing, I'm going to say about 40 yards from him, or even, you know, and he said that it was standing there. At one point when he started moving again, he goes, this thing was just like, boom, right there, right behind him. He goes, this thing stood. He goes, it was big. He said, I swear that thing was about 12 feet tall. That was big, you know. What also scared him, I think, the most, too, not only of the bigness, but the color of the eye. He said that color of the eye had like a golden color to it. It was just like almost like goldish, golden orange, maybe that kind of a color. It was bright. He goes, that was what scared the heck out of him, because he didn't have a flashlight. He didn't flash a light on its face, but he could see the color of the eye in the dark. He goes, that really scared me. You know, that just, and I guess I was out of there because I just took off.
Was he describing eyeshine to you, or was he describing eye glow?
He says as an eye glow. He's like a golden eye glow. He goes, I never seen an eye glow like that. He goes, and I didn't even put no light to it. He goes, and this is in the dark.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I could see it. He goes, I could, when it was standing by that tree, there was enough, like, moonlight it wasn't pitch black now. It was like moonlight. So there was some light he could see. He goes, this thing was big. He goes, it was tall. The eye glow is what really, really got to him too. And the bigness of it too as well. He said, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, this thing just can easily take maybe two steps and it's right behind me. And yet that's how close it was to him. And he jumped that last fence and went back into the house, told his brother what had happened. And that's when they contacted me. And later on that night, probably, I'm going to say about an hour, the young man texts me and says, you know, hey, do they know how to run a chainsaw? I don't know. Anything's possible because they really watch us. You know, they watch what we do. I'm listening. My chainsaw is going off. I can hear it. It's running. He goes, I call the cops. So they know, and I did tell them that I talked with you. So he was waiting for the cops to get there, and, you know, and they never showed up that night. And, you know, this guy was really, he was really shooken up about what had happened, what he had seen. He goes, I'm not going back down there. I'm never going to go back down there in that area again. You know, when we, like I said earlier, when we went down in there, I tell you what, that area is really, some area is very thick. There's an area where water streams in. You could see where it's been laying down, right, pretty close to the water there.
Do you think it was mimicking the chainsaw sound? The reason why I asked that, I had a lady on.
Yeah, it's a good possibility. Yeah, you know, you could be right. Yeah, because it can mimic different sounds, different animal sounds. We've heard my daughter used to have ducks, and my daughter, she used to work over at Target, so she'd be leaving our place around 3:30, and she was walking out the door, and she heard what sounded like a duck sound, and I was walking out there with her, and the ducks were all put up, but this particular sound, it did sound like a duck, but it had like a really deep sound, you know, it didn't sound right. And it was like in our field to the east of our home. And she looked at me and she's like, yeah, hey, it's just making the duck sound. I said, yes, I hear it. And, you know, we kind of laughed about it. But yeah, they can make the mimic sounds, not only from animals, different animal sounds, but us, you know, us people, they can mimic us too as well.
Yeah, and I hear that a lot. You know, it's interesting. I hear that encounter that you just recounted. And in my mind, what I get from that is it wanted him to move along, but necessarily didn't want to kill him. I wanted to scare him enough right to move along. And what's your take? What do you think was actually going on there?
I think the young man, you know, because he asked me, you know, why was it chasing me? Why did it want me out of there? I said, well, for one thing, there's a good possibility you were just about to come up upon a family. And the family, sometimes they include very young spots, you know, the young juveniles, even possibly a baby one. And so when they heard you, they didn't want you there. This will happen is they'll run you out of there if they don't want you there, if you're too close to the family. You know, of course, you know, the young man didn't know that he was that close because he's, when he heard what sounded like a woman screaming, he said, I swear that thing was just like, it just seemed like it was just right around that hill. And I'm just like on the opposite side of the hill. And I think he just got too close without realizing that they were bunkering down in that particular area there.
Yeah, and that's why I say some encounters can be very aggressive and violent sometimes, and then sometimes they're not. I really think in that situation, it didn't necessarily want to fight and didn't necessarily want to kill him. I mean, this is Wes Germer's commentary, oh, yeah, but it wanted him to move along, wanted him to keep moving and leave the area.
That's right. And
you hear them do that a lot. I mean, you hear that type of behavior a lot, especially with like fishermen. They'll throw rocks, they'll roar, they'll even step out sometimes to fishermen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they really want to fight. I don't know that they're necessarily looking for an altercation. It's just trying to get the person to move along or leave the area. And you hear a lot of that, but it does feel very aggressive. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. You know, we, like I said, when they have a young one, they don't want any humans there, you know, anybody there, just their own, you know. And when you get too close, they will. They'll chase you out of there. A lot of the times, too, it may not necessarily be that they have a family there or a very young one there with them. It could be they just don't want you there. They just want you to leave. And, you know, that's when the rocks or the logs, they start getting thrown at you. You know, they just don't want you there. So turn around and leave. If you keep moving forward, pushing yourself forward into these areas, different areas, the small rocks, you start with small rocks. And the more you push in, the bigger that rock's going to get.
Yeah.
The bigger the log's going to get, you know. So, you know, turn around. You know, don't try to be a hero and go out there, you know. No. You know, you're only asking for trouble, so you need to leave those areas, you know. Let them be.
I'm curious. No one's ever asked me this, and I've always wanted to ask you, because I know you know more than what you say publicly, and I understand why. But if you, what is the craziest thing that you've ever been told by a completely sane person where you walked away and you thought, I believe this person, this person's not lying, but it's the craziest thing you've ever been told? What it, and you know, you take time to think about it if you want. I guess it's kind of a hard question to answer.
It would have to be the gargoyle, and believe it or not.
Would you tell us about that? Gargoyle. Would you mind telling us about that?
Okay, sure. One of my my relatives, probably about 5 years ago, was telling me about some students at a school, and of course it was elementary school. And there's one you know little boy that was drawing in his class, and his teacher went up to him and you know. Said, what are you doing? You need to do your schoolwork. And he noticed this young man was drawing something, and he drew it, and because what's this? And the young man, he said, this young boy's really, really quiet. You know, he just kind of he keeps to himself. But this time, you know, and he does his work, but this young man drew out what he had seen down at the river. Him and his friend went down to the river, and, you know, of course, the teacher was looking at the picture, and, you know, he knew what it was. So the teacher asked him to stay back from, you know, after letting the class out, and the teacher wanted to talk to him a little bit more about this picture he drew. And he asked the young man, where did you see this at? Because me and my friend, we were down at the river. We were walking, and we, you know, I guess this was something that they were doing. And this young man and his friend were down at the river walking, and all of a sudden they hear something up in the trees, and they look, and this thing was sitting up in the tree. He said he got a good look at, and they got a good look at it, and they said it was just sitting up in the tree, made a weird sound. Once they heard the sound, I mean, they took off running back home. Now that day in school, you know, he drew that picture out, and when the teacher asked him, where did you see this? Where at? You know, told him where it's at the river. He was sitting at the tree, and the teacher's like, he had that scared, you know, he just really scared, really distraught, you know, the young man did. Because that thing was scary, and, you know, he gave that paper to the teacher, and the teacher's looking at him like, oh, man, you know. He looked really scared because this is down at the river. Because it's a gargoyle. It was sitting in the tree. The color of it kind of like a grayish look to it, all over its body, looked gray. And it was sitting in the tree. Because that it was sitting, you know, and that's all he could sit in was a tree looking at us. And he's like, holy cow, you know, and he was, that little boy was really scared. He could, you know, just looking at him and listening to what he had to say. Because this little boy's telling the truth. You know, he's not making this up. He could tell that the tone of his voice, especially the look in his eyes, you know, that really terrified this young man and his friend. That happened several years ago.
Yeah.
That was one that really, I was like, wow, gargoyles, you know. You know, like I said, you never know what you run into. And that was one that really, you know, and at first I couldn't believe, I'm like, what? You know, well, this is coming from a young man. And when you talk to a lot of these, the young kids in the deep of the reservation, some of the things that they hear, some of the things that they actually see, you know, you would be amazed. You're like, oh my gosh, really? You know, I had a young a teacher talk to me about one day she was substituting for another teacher, and she thought she'd, you know, kind of change up some stuff, you know, get the kids' attention. So she's like, you know, okay, I know what. How many of you guys have seen a Bigfoot? She said, every one of those young kids, every one of them raised their hands, and their stories just went off. She said, some of these encounters, she goes, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. She goes, but the one that stood out the most, she was telling me, she goes, Brenda, you need to get out to this area. This young man lives with his grandma alone, and you really need to get out there and check this young man's or his grandma lives. And you need to go sit and just listen, you know. Because some of the stuff he shared with me, because he hears the little people, because they run around his house, his grandma's house. And they also hear Bigfoot, you know, move around outside the home there too. And they hear things that get thrown around, the big trash cans that get thrown around out there. She said, this thing, she goes, what day? She goes, they don't only have Bigfoot, but they have what the young little guy has seen is the yellow, the little people and the trolls. And she said, there's so much other stuff going on out there. You know, you really need to go investigate that and go check into that, because I'm really concerned with this young man and, you know, the grandma. She said that this thing, they come around, we can hear them running around outside the door. And what are they doing? You know, like, they don't know. She said some of the sounds that they make, it's pretty creepy sounds. And she said, but every one of those kids in that classroom, they had a story. And it wasn't only about Bigfoot. There was other things out there that they had seen. You know, and,
yeah,
you know,
terrifying.
Kids, you know, they... You know, just to listen to their stories and some of the things that they've encountered, you know, it's like, are they telling the truth? You know, because you get some kids out there that will make up stuff. But she's, you know, she was telling me, she goes, oh, no, not these kids. You know, these kids have seen so much and have experienced. She goes, I didn't realize it was that bad in some of the part of the reservations. You know, she goes, oh, they hear a lot. They've seen a lot.
You know, I think a lot of these kids, you know, I've talked to a lot of kids off the air, and one thing you'll find with a lot of children in particular, you'll get some of the best reports from kids. They'll tell you all sorts of details, stuff they wouldn't have picked up from listening to the show. There's a lot of little details they'll give you, and unless they had seen something, they wouldn't have known half of what they're talking about. And so right away, a lot of times, in my opinion, some of the best witnesses I've ever talked to have been little kids, just for that fact.
Right.
You know, as adults, we see it, we scream, we run. Kids more apt to stand there and kind of observe what they're seeing. I don't know if it's more of a, they don't have quite the fear of dying like when you get older. You know, I can't nail it down.
Yeah.
But just like the gargoyle story, there was a guy who called me on the East Coast, and he said, well, I think I shot Baphomet. And I kind of chuckled a little bit, and he said, no, I'm serious. And I said, well, what was it? And as he was describing it, it was kind of like a Baphomet, you know, what Baphomet, if you Google Baphomet. But as he was describing it, I was thinking more gargoyle is what he saw. And it was sitting up in a tree just watching him. And I don't remember if it was making noises or not, but he ended up blasting it. Then they ran into the home because they were terrified. They didn't know what it was. But you hear this stuff across the United States. People running into these strange beings. It's scary when it's starting to become the norm.
It's right. It is. You know, just don't know. Yeah. You know, we just don't know. That's only what's going to pop out in front of you. It's going to shock you. Just be ready, you know. On the, you know, the young man, you know, I've told, you know, a lot of people, when you come across a Bigfoot, you know, just, you know, step back slowly and walk back, you know, walk off, but walk fast. Don't run, because they're curious, like, okay, they're running, so they're going to run right behind you. A lot of the times, you know, your adrenaline just gets going, so like, oh my gosh, I get out of there, you know, you got to run. And that's the first instinct, is run. You know, sometimes they will run right behind you, sometimes they won't. You know, they'll just let you be. Or me, you know, I know that a lot of people say, you're crazy, but, you know, I've seen a lot of them, the ones that have come through our property, the ones that I've seen along the rivers, the ones that I've seen out in the mountains. I really want to see the face, a clear picture. It doesn't have to be a picture, but, you know, if I'm out in the field, you know, I probably would just lock my eyes on the face. I want to see the face. You know, I've seen the whole body from the head to the foot. They're covered in hair. The ones that I've seen are covered in hair. Even the face is covered in hair. But I would like to see the face. You know, call me crazy, but study the face, you know, to see what the face looks like. I always get reports. You don't want to see the face. That, you know, they look scary. They look like monsters. They look like those ugly things that come out of that movie, Lord of the Rings. You know, those ugly monster things. I don't know what you call them. But because some of them look like that, they're scary looking. But for me, I really want to see the face. Why? I just want to see. You know, for me, I guess.
And I can understand that. I mean, I think if your average person said that to me, I'd be like, well, careful what you wish for, because it might just happen. But I know you've been deep in this for many years, and, you know, you go out there and you help a lot of people. And I really appreciate what you do, and I really enjoy your research. Thank you. And, you know, because you are really out helping people. And I would love to see you. I don't know how they're doing on speakers. I'd love to see you at the International Bigfoot Conference as a speaker. Let's get some women up there and class the place up a little bit. You know what I mean? Are you going to be attending that at all?
Where's this one at?
It's in the end of August, the September 1st, 2nd. I think it's August 31st, 1st and 2nd. It's in Kennewick, Washington.
I'm going to try to make my way up that way to that one. The one that's getting ready to come up here, I believe in Texas in April. I might swing there on that one and check that one out. But that one you're talking about, I'm going to try to make my way up that way. And I'd like to see that, you know.
I'd love to have you there.
A speaker at one of those, that it would be fun. You know, it would be very interesting, especially for me, you know, just to be there and speaker or not, you know. I'll get to meet a lot of people and mingle, you know. That would be great. You know, I'd like to hear in person, you know, what's going on in different parts.
Yeah, it'd be a blast to have you there.
Yeah, it would be really nice. So, yeah, I wanna make plans to head up that way. You probably might see me out there if you're out there.
Yeah, no, I'll be there. I'll definitely be there.
Oh, nice.
Well, Brenda, I appreciate you coming on. If the audience gets a chance, go to YouTube, type in New Mexico Shadow Seekers, and check out Brenda's new investigations. A lot of cool stuff on there, Brenda. Again, for the audience, if you get a chance, check it out. Go to New Mexico Shadow Seekers on YouTube. Brenda, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Wes.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. Until next time, everyone. This is my home. This is my home.
with me.